See, it changes the thing now, doesn't it?
Weird angle.
He's set it all up nice, and now it's
just turn it a bit this way, Stevie. So
which way? Towards you?
Well, yeah, that's right.
You want to move over a little bit, mate?
Yeah, that would. But there you go. Yeah.
That's all right. Just see what it looks like on it. Yeah, we're live. Apologies, we're a bit early, we just want to get it set up. So, anyone who's tuned in early will be watching the sound check of this. There we go.
Alright.
Is
that just a bit delayed, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, yeah, that's okay, it looks alright on the screen.
Technology.
Yeah, I think we're good to go. It's not quite half past yet, anyway. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Bit of Stella alcohol-free for me.
Stella at all.
Mark is on the alcohol-free wine, but it might have some alcohol in it.
They know you're composing.
It might be the alcohol-free wine with the alcohol in it. Anyway, good evening and welcome to Songs and Stories number 41 with my good friend Mr. Mark Dill.
Evening.
Yeah. And yeah, tonight's episode we're going to be discussing the album recorded in 2006 called Weather the Storm. It's an all acoustic album. If you want to get hold of a copy, you can buy a CD off the store, stevejones.com/store, and there's also a tip jar there as well. So any sales of the Weather Storm album or any other CDs or t-shirts
which you've got over there,
it all goes into the pot to help for funding the forthcoming Stevie Jones the Wildfires album. So tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about the making of Weather the Storm. Not too much talk, we just want to crack on with the music really. It was a very quick album to make because the last live stream that we did was all about the album New Life, which took nearly 2 years to finish, or 18 months, and it was a very arduous task. And then with this second album, we had a completely different tack. We decided to go in and record it all in a few hours, completely live. And we're really happy with it, aren't we?
Yeah, it's one of our personal favourites. The intimacy of it, live recording. Yeah.
It's aged well, like we have, of course.
Of course.
You know, it has aged well. It's just completely stripped down album, just the two guitars playing live in the studio. And it was a difficult time as well. I've been through a really difficult breakup, and a lot of the songs do come from that. It's kind of the breakup album, but it's quite raw in places, but I'm really still really proud of it. So if you haven't heard it, make sure you do. Anyway, here's some songs for it. The first song is called Better Than Before. I'll play it and then I'll talk a little bit about it.
That you breathe.
song. Hello, Hillary. Ah, we've got about six people watching.
Hey, hello,
Hillary. Hillary's the one who's commented. Do comment. If I can't answer now, I will answer later on. Anyone who wants to comment, I'll go back in later.
That'll be in the past.
It will be. Unfortunately, I can't do two things at the same time.
Naked.
Seen
from Naked.
Yeah. Yes. Mark's always coming out with scenes from the film Naked, the David Hughes classic. Yes. You need to watch it again.
He had it right.
Yes. What a great film. So, yeah, that song, the opening track of the Weatherstorm album called Better Than Before, and it's actually first released, the little EP I did with my other acoustic project before I met Mark, actually, called Treehouse. And it featured on our EP there, and we always play that one live, and we always enjoyed playing it. So it seemed right to open up the Weatherstorm album, but it also fitted in with the mood because I wrote that song about me and Eleanor's mum, really, about trying to make it through a relationship and try and make things better and come out the other side and hold on to it. And sadly, we didn't remain a couple. We did split up. And go our separate ways around the kind of making, the making of New Life, really. But then with Better Than Before, it just seemed quite an apt song to put in there. It's a sort of, a lot of the messages of the album really is about trying to hold on to a relationship and making it worse and then it all falling apart as well. So those themes are going through the album. And that song is a kind of song of hope, really. So it starts off well, the album, and then turns to shit. I do sing from there, and these songs had to come out, and they came out very quickly. That one was an old one, which I wanted to put in there, but the rest of the album came out very quickly. I wrote it within a few weeks. And this song, I've just released a video of it, actually, if you haven't seen it yet. The song's called Mary Celeste. If you haven't seen it, do look up Stevie Jones, Mary Celeste, or it's on the Facebook page. It's a really, really lovely video that I've just done for it. And this is all about the moments that you have when suddenly you split up with somebody and you're all alone in the house. And that kind of empty feeling that you've got. And I'm going to play it for you now. We'll be right back. Love Is Hell was a very apt backdrop to the recording of that kind of era, really. Yeah. I remember listening to Stephen Fretwell, Magpie album, I used to listen to a bit.
Yeah.
He was an influence around that time. That's a great album. Got a few people still there?
Yeah, they hang in. Yeah.
Sally, thank you. Good health to you all. With this album, we were talking about how difficult it was with the New Life album, and the engineer we had, Ollie, who's a bit of a stoner.
We went back in,
and we worked with Ollie again with this, and he'd actually given up the weed by then. He was in a better place, and it was a good experience doing this album, wasn't it? There was no fuss, wasn't there?
Yeah.
It's a day, wasn't it?
Did we mix it the whole thing?
The next song. That song was all about what it's like to split up somebody and the kind of empty feeling you have in the house. And you're kind of grieving and trying to get your head around it. And the next song was written kind of around that kind of breakup time that I was going through, where halfway through my relationship, I met somebody one night, and it was a kind of drunken night that led into me seeing that person a few times when I was still with my current partner. How sinful. Many people have done that. And I did it at that time, and I knew I had to let that person go to try and make my relationship work. It didn't in the end. But I wrote this song for the person who I kind of had the affair with at the time. And this is called Thank You Jubilee.
Came clear when we first spoke.
was a light that was cruel. Thank you, Jubilee, for being who you are. I'm so sorry now, but I've got to go, and we've come so far. Sun. She loves the autumn leaves. She tells me places of where she's been, places she'd rather be. Whoa, she loves the snow, takes me out of the cold, lifts me up when I am down. And I love to walk with her once again. The night disappears. The morning comes around. The morning comes around. Thank you, Jubilee, for being who you are. I'm so sorry. Jubilee Street, man.
Jubilee Street, wow, yeah.
Yeah, you lived on that street, didn't you?
Twice round, yeah. With Richie and with the Stuart.
Oh, yeah. When I was looking at my house in Rothwell, I nearly bought a house on Jubilee Street, and I think I might have been your next door neighbour when you and Richie were living down that end.
Before I met you,
Yeah, I would have, you know, like, it would have worked out that if when you moved in with Richie, I would have been your neighbour.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, of course, the connection with this song, with the person that this song relates to. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, crazy how things work out.
Well, got your blessing in disguise.
Hi, Anna. Oh, my lovely colleague, Anna, from work. Good health to you, Anna.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. Yeah. So it was a difficult time, so yeah, I won't go into all the fine detail, but that's something basically I can say about having an affair with somebody and having to let go of them. But then, of course, you go back, don't you? You go back and it unraveled. The girlfriend eventually found out that I had, the long-term girlfriend found out that I had an affair. She was also having an affair. It was horrible. It was a horrible, horrible time, and I basically fell apart. Basically, I was a fucking mess.
Crazy.
To put it bluntly, and very, very difficult times indeed. And I'm gonna sing another song from the album anyway, without going into detail. But we'll do Switch now. Yeah,
Switch.
This is another song about trying to hold on to things, really, but this is when it kind of completely slips away, and no matter how much you try, if somebody makes a decision that they kind of don't want you anymore, then that can just be it, you know. And this is about dealing with it, and this is called The Switch. On my phone. you out in the darkness. I look for you, but I am all alone. She has a switch. She's gonna turn it off. Anniversary, you know, the 10th anniversary or something of this album being released, and I think this is the second time since then we've ever played it, you know, since the album was recorded. But yeah, that, I've always thought that would sound quite good with the band, you know. But yeah. Who have we got on there? Nettie. Dexter says good night, Mark and Stevie. Good night, Dexter.
Night, little man.
We sent him off to sleep. Blimey, that sends him off to sleep. It's a bit worrying. It's quite a dark song, that, really.
He's watching the last game of it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be watching that in a bit. That'll be a dark scene as well.
That might be over by the time we watch it.
Yeah.
No.
Let's not go there. Yeah, that's quite a dark song, really. And I remember I was in a really, you know, around that time, I was in such a dark place, and trying to get my head around the whole kind of falling apart stuff of, losing two people in my life that I really kind of at the time thought a lot of, and it all went shit, basically. And it's about dealing, the whole album's about dealing with all those emotions. And I remember playing that one song, particularly at one of Roy Wilde's parties, in Beverly. He used to hire out this hostel at Beverly, and every year on his birthday in the January, he'd have a massive party. We'll start there and get drunk and start all night playing guitars and singing, and it was fantastic. And I remember being completely off my tits singing that song, and I did about a 20-minute version of it. I was just singing it slowly in my head like a mantra, and everyone was playing bongos.
I couldn't stop it. It was like I was just locked into this weird place, kind of like an exorcism or something.
Yeah. But that's life, you know. You have to go through these things sometimes to come out the other side, you know, and you do. And sometimes it's just good to get it down there. And there are songwriters that I really like that kind of visit those places. Mark Oakes is always a classic example. But lots of his songs are very dark, but it always resonates with me. And with this album, we were both influenced by the Ryan Adams album Suicide Handbook, which is a very cheery title. It's not quite as dark as the title.
There's some good songs on there.
There's some nice bits. Yeah. But what we liked about that album, if any of you have heard it, and I highly recommend it.
Sound in the production.
It's just him in an empty room. You can see the floorboards creaking, yeah. Playing with maybe a couple of other musicians. Very sparse, the echo of the room. And we loved it, and that's what we wanted to get on this album, wasn't it?
I mean, the whole sound, but just the basics, acoustic guitar.
I think we might have even played Ollie the album and said, make it sound a bit like that.
I think you did.
Which is always, it's always good to have pointers with an album, actually. I've done that with our new one. There was one solo on the new album where I literally played Adam Icicle Works solo and said, make it, get that guitar sound, you know. And it was like, so we kind of emulated that sound, you know. It's not like copying it. It's just,
but I think capturing the mood and Ryan Adams on top.
Yeah, it's like, if you're an outside producer and you're working with an artist, you've got to have these pointers, so you go, I want it to sound a bit like that.
As a guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe the Oasis did that with the Beatles, you know. The I don't know.
I didn't listen to it because I didn't like it. No, he did
a fantastic job.
We were happy. We were happy with it.
Yeah.
Captured what we were after.
So how are we doing for time?
It's 8 o'clock.
So when you split up with somebody, sometimes you wonder about, you know, when you split up with somebody, we all split up in different ways, don't we? And it's like, some of us are able to maintain friendship with that person, which is always good. And, you know, if you can, that's good. But other times it's impossible to remain in communication. And sometimes there's so much acrimony when you split up that it makes it very difficult. Another time just kind of middle ground, but you're best off just not going there, you know? And this song is about all those kind of things, really, and not having contact with someone and just thinking, well, do I make contact with them or not? That kind of, you know, what do you do, you know? And this is called The Letter. Who's gonna love you when your body is over? And all of your temporary friends have let you down. And who's gonna
Who's gonna be there when the party's over? Do we have an album launch for this album like at the time? Can you remember? I was just thinking that.
Did we want the transfers or was that an anniversary thing?
That was the anniversary thing. I think originally when we were released, we didn't really do much with it.
We launched it in Ireland, I think, in Dublin.
But we did. I can't remember us having a proper big album launch for it like we did with New Life. Did we hire anywhere and do anything with it? I don't remember, mate. Did we do Sawyers?
The Labour Club, though. What's that?
No. I don't think we had an album launch for it. I think we just put it out there, didn't we? The weird thing about it was is that we say this is the CD version here that we've, you know, I'm still printing these out for people if you do want a copy, and you get a download of it as well. You can also find it on Spotify as well, if you have a rummage there, if you just want to stream it. But it was the first album that I just released as a download only album.
Yeah.
We made up a few copies. But not that many, maybe like 20 or something, and then I think we had it download only, but no one downloaded it, because this is all when MySpace was around, and
yeah, that was about.
Do you know what I mean? It's all MySpace, and it was like an early download site. I think, you know, you could probably do iTunes and stuff like that. Well, I haven't worked out how to do it by then, but there was a place, was it Pro 7 or something? I don't know if it was on that, and we had it on there, and no one downloaded it, and it was like,
wow.
This album. Hardly anyone heard it really for years, did they? You know what I mean? It's like you said, it was the kind of lost album.
Yeah, I think it's,
you know, it was lost in the ether, really, wasn't it? And I wish more people had heard it.
Yeah, it was a strange one.
Yeah, but it's still there. It's still there. It's still there. It's still standing the test of time.
Yeah.
And I think acoustic music, it can, you know. It can stand the test of time. I mean, I was listening to Nick Drake on a walk on Sunday, and not Sunday, that was yesterday. Yeah,
don't talk about Sunday.
Don't talk about that rabbit hole.
Let's not.
Save that for another day. Saturday, I went for a really long walk, and I listened to Nick Drake, and some of his stuff, the Brighter Later album, was dated quite a lot, but the Time With No Reply, it's timeless. All the acoustic stuff.
Yeah.
And Pete Moon is timeless, it's a similar guitar, and it's like, what acoustic, that Weather the Storm album, I think that will still sound good in 30 years time, because it just strips it right down. The minute you start putting a lot of backing on it, you know what I mean? If like keyboards and things like that, it can sound a bit dated, really.
Well, they change all the times.
Exactly. I was listening to the 90s band Incubus.
Yeah, good band.
Yeah, good band, wrote some good songs. I hadn't really heard a lot of their stuff, and some of it just sounded really dated. It's like, it had all this kind of like, the songs are there, but they put like all this kind of scratching in the background. So, you know what I mean? You know, the sort of samples and scratching.
No, it sounds
good. And it just, if you didn't have that there, you know what I mean? It could be from any time, any era, and I like to try and make music like that.
Well, it's like acoustic is as natural as it gets, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Listen to Neil Young songs.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, Neil Young. I mean,
basically now.
But you know, the sort of stuff, sort of like the Neil Young done. What's that one where he used the radio? He did a really weird album.
Trans.
Yeah, and it's just like it just sounds like the '80s, and he did some other stuff. It's like Dylan did some. There's a documentary about it called Under the Rainbow, Up to the Rainbow, or something. Really worth watching on Prime, and it's all about his kind of '80s era and how it's kind of. A lot of artists did that, didn't they? They were trying to sound too contemporary in the 80s and they kind of fell on their arse a lot. You know, so lots of artists did that, but if you strip a lot of those songs down, they sound great. It's like you and Phil, and Mark's in this covers duo called Woods and Gill, and they do a lot of 80s stuff, and I'm not a huge fan of 80s music, because of the reasons I'm saying.
That I know, that I know.
But what you guys do is that you strip it right down to the bare bones, and they're great songs.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
It's like you do Nick Kershaw and who else you do? Loads of stuff, don't you?
It's Years for Fears.
Yeah. Loads of stuff that, like, wow, I haven't heard that in years. And
yeah.
When you strip the song down without all the cheesy backing, it.
King.
Yeah, King.
Love and Pride, you know, One Hit Wonders as
yeah,
well.
You're all ABC.
ABC, you like that?
Yeah, Don Henley. There's loads of stuff that you strip these songs down, they're great songs. And I think. God knows how many songs that are written around that are in the charts, you know, are still going to be there. You know what I mean? It's like, are they going to be reference points for people years to come, or people like bloody hell, 2020s with shit to music, you know?
Skip it
down. Yeah. Acoustic songs. If you can strip it down to acoustic, it's a good song.
That's why I personally love acoustic. I love electric. But
yeah.
Yeah. Acoustic, you know.
Well, this has always been your thing, isn't
it? Yeah, I like what you're hearing is what's
No, we always work well together working on that. So anyway, I'm gonna play you the title track now, I think. I can find the harmonica. So the album starts off with a song of a kind of like hope about trying to make it through a relationship.
Yeah, Henson Doom.
No, this is also a positive song about trying to make it through, really. And and I wrote that right in the kind of eye of the hurricane.
Well,
like,
it says it in the thing.
About when I was having a really shit time with the woman I was living with, and it was awful. And I remember writing this song right in the middle of it, just really hoping we could get through it. Anyway, it's a title track, it's called Weather the Storm. Weather the storm.
decisions, make our mistakes. Sometimes it just can't do the mess that you made. All of this head shit that you've been me through. You know I don't believe in alcohol. I know it's not you. All comes down, gonna stand my ground. We sang that on BBC Radio, didn't we?
We
played at the big session.
Big sausage.
the big session. I think it must have been around the same time this album. I remember this being recorded, I think, 2006, 2007.
Wow.
All right, 30 years ago, anyway. And the heavens are open. We were in this tent and we were doing a live BBC Radio Leicester session. And we sang that song, The Heavens Open.
So we started it.
It was a bit like Travis Ford is always running on me when I'm at Glastonbury, you know? Hope you've enjoyed the show anyway. We're gonna skedaddle now because we want to watch the Leicester game. Got a soft spot for Leicester. Having lived there a good few years of my life.
Yeah, I hope they help. To get
a
result tonight, and then go down to the last day.
Yeah, we want East Midlands teams to do well, don't we?
I'm safe. My team are safe. Yeah.
I thought they fared better than poor old Peterborough last week. That was shocking. That was. God, be 4-1 up in the first leg and go back, and then 5-all and lose on pens. Yeah. But yeah, it's very tight for Leicester. Apologies for anyone who's not a footy fan. But we're going to go off and...
We have to have some other hobbies.
We do, yes, we do, yeah. Well, music is an absolute lifesaver. We were just saying that earlier, weren't we? God bless music. Mm. Talking of which, some events coming up. This Friday, I'm doing a Little Embers session showcase with my friend Bob Cheatham over in Oundle, the Talbot Hotel. It's a 9-act charity showcase for the Marafiki Trust and Youth Works Northamptonshire. Danny Hughes is playing it, Nick Corney. There's loads of acts. Please do look on the Facebook page or just look it up. Little Embers Sessions, Oundle, it will come up. And it's all for a good cause. I'll be there on Friday. Saturday I'm playing in Ruddington, a covers gig at the Red Lion there in the day. And in the evening I'm doing a gig for Dan, a thing he's running over in Oney, a pub called Cherry Tree in the evening with the Waltzers.
And then Sunday, I've got a solo acoustic gig in a pub of a name I can't remember, but I will post it. It's called the Watermead or something. Anyway, I'm looking forward to that. You can have a good plug, Mark. Sorry.
Well, I've only got one thing to plug.
You plug.
The acoustic night this Wednesday at the Domino Pub in Corby. All welcome. Open mic.
Yeah. So you do that every week?
Every Wednesday.
The Domino Pub. Any open micers out there want to come and play a few songs?
It's a good night.
I find it hard to get out in the week because I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning, but I know it's a good night. And you also do another one, don't you?
I do the Bar 76 first Thursday of every month.
With Phil Woods.
Me and Phil Woods won that one.
Woods and Gill, cracking duo. So if anyone who wants to play, get along to that. And anyway, thank you very much for tuning in. It's been an absolute pleasure. Nicola Buckley, thank you for tuning in. It's been a while.
Hope you keep well.
So I'll have a look later and reply to any comments that people left. But if you do want to chuck anything into the tip jar this evening, you're most welcome. StevieJones.com, /store, buy some merch, chuck a couple of quid in. It's all going to help us out with the new album, which is getting there. Anyway, I'll speak to you next time. You take care.
Cheers, bye. Guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.